Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $38.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. The reporter, Nick Keyser, hanging out back there as well. JoJo, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. I almost cussed on air because I hit my knee against the chair.
Rex Road almost did that too, so
and,
that's a thing.
I'm glad my mic was off.
So I'm glad it was.
Sorry about that. Apologize, but it's all good. It's a beautiful day. It's a Tuesday. College football rankings come out tonight. We're still hating on the Titans, so it's a fun day, man.
Oh, yeah, it is. A lot of people yesterday enjoyed your – and I mean, I knew I was going to get you going. I didn't realize it was going to strike a nerve like it did, but your right. analytics rant, people really enjoyed that.
Thank
you. And you know what? For the most part, I agree with you.
Thank you. I just think with analytics, it's an excuse. And it's like, the analytics show that, and it's an excuse. They use it in baseball, basketball, football. It's nerd statistics. It's not good for the sport. And I hate it. And I think analytics are dumb. And I'm not a fan of them. I mean, I think the Titans, didn't they have a whole analytics department? What's that getting you?
Right.
Hey, 2-7. I mean, do your analytics show that you can't block somebody, you can't tackle?
You don't have a right tackle?
It's an eye test, man. It's a gut feeling, and you know what you got out there. That's why they've taken kind of this control away from scouts. Scouts see these guys. They're with that's their job. They're scouting all the time. And then analytics come in. Well, you know, Chase, you know, on 3rd and 8 and greater, you know, he tends to drop back on his left foot and not his right foot. Just stop it. Go find players who want to play the game. That's it.
I mean, look, I'm with you. But here's the thing, and this goes into our greater conversation, you know, as we sit here and kind of discuss the future of the Titans. Because, like, here's the deal. Do you all want to sit here and break down every game that they have? No, because you know they're crap and you know what they are. But what I've noticed that a lot of you want to talk about is, all right, what are they going to do to fix this? Is it, you know, and what was interesting is I put the poll question up yesterday on my X account. You know, who should the Titans part ways with at the end of the season or sooner? 39.9% said no one. 32.1% said all of the above. 23.8% said Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker. 4.1% said Brian Callahan. So a lot of you want to kind of give this some time. But I just, for me, do you trust this current group to get this right? Like, I'm all about, like, okay, you got to, you know, the cake doesn't bake in 10 minutes. Like, you got to give it time to bake. I get all that. And they took a lot of swings at this roster in the offseason. But a lot of those swings involved bringing in hurt players that, guess what? Guess what they're not doing right now? They're not playing. And that's hurting your team. You know, this secondary that everybody was excited about, great. On paper, they looked awesome. On Madden, they're freaking fantastic. But guess what? They're hurt right now. They're not helping you.
Right.
So that's an issue. And so, like, all right, you put that on the front office in Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker because they're the one bringing those guys in. That was the knock that a lot of you had on John Robinson, and they're doing the same thing. That's an issue. But – it seems that there is kind of a split between, you know, the Titans fan base on, yeah, no, let's not, you know, let's not keep firing everybody. Let's not keep changing. let's just give this a little more time. And then there's the group that I kind of fall into of, I think it's time to make some changes because you kind of screwed up what you had when you made changes before, but now you got to do it again.
I just think the message with Titans fans is run tired. We talked yesterday about beyond apathy. Is there something beyond apathy? Well, whatever it is, Titans fans have hit it right now. Like my brother is a huge Titans fan. He turned that game off halfway through on Sunday. And I think a lot of folks turned that game off on Sunday because there you saw there's no energy, no passion, no desire. It just wasn't there on Sunday, and it's sad. And when it gets to that level, it's another thing of, well, I mean, man, we'll look at him next year. I'll go to the game on Sunday because I've already got the tickets. Just people don't care. And we sit here and we can argue for what we're from 6 to 6, 12 hours. 12 hours we can sit here and talk about who's going to get fired, who's going to do that. And after a while, it becomes redundant talk. You know what I'm saying? When you just talk about people getting fired. They need solutions, right? Yeah. You can give me an answer. What's a solution? What's a good solution? Because nothing's worked. We can go back and talk the blame of the John Robinson, letting Vrabel go, and A.J. Brown getting traded to her blue in the face. We know all that stuff going on. But that's in the past. That's all in the past. There's nothing you can do about that now. And sometimes that wrecks us when we go back and think about, well, you know, if they didn't trade A.J. and they got a good draft choice, and what if Isaiah Wilson worked out? Then you go crazy.
Yeah.
That makes you go insane, but you can't do that now. Now it's like, all right, it is what it is where they are right now. Don't make those mistakes again. Go forward. Free agency didn't help. You spent all this money. Have those two cornerbacks played at all that they signed?
They've played, but it just not.
Who's the one that got abused by the Colts? Is that the guy from the Chiefs? He got abused that day.
Sneed? I'd have to go back and look. No,
so
I don't remember.
So you're signing guys who just want the paycheck. And I get it. I understand that. But you can't fix this team through free agency. You're not going to be able to do that. It's drafting, and it's always been about drafting. The free agency just kind of adds a little something umph to it. But it's always been about drafting and talent evaluation. Right now, this team can't do it.
No, and they can't. And that is my question. Can they get where they do this right? I mean, look, there's two draft classes under this regime. And don't give, you know, people are going to be like, well, Vrabel was here for the first one. This is really Rand's first draft. No, it's not. He was in the room. He was a part of it. He had the title of general manager. All right? Don't give me that crap. The 2023 draft doesn't look very good right now.
No.
Peter Skoronski? Not it right now. Now, maybe Bill Callahan can work with him and fix him, give it some time. Rome wasn't built in a day, whatever. Right now, not very good. Now, this draft, a little bit better on paper right now. I mean, you know, the first two draft picks especially, man, look pretty good. Latham and Sweat. But again, let's let the league get some tape on him. Let's give it a minute. You know, you see that all the time that – there's a sophomore slump in the NFL because they get tape on you.
That's right. Yeah.
Now look at Vince Young. Vince Young's a great example.
Vince Young,
of that.
Lazy.
That too. Didn't work hard. I mean, that's a part. But that's a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have a good rookie year, and it's like, all right, cool. And they get fat and happy, and then they get their butt kicked.
Should have drafted Mac Brown when they drafted Vince Young. That was the joke. That was the joke over at Baptist Sports Park, whatever it was called back then. It's like, you got to draft, you know, Mac, who kind of talked him off the ledge many, many times. But, again, that's a problem. We go back to thinking, well, what if, and it just kills you, man. You can't do that, and you got to look forward to what goes on. I don't know. Look, what's the guy in Arizona, Aussie?
Monty Austinfort.
Yeah. Wasn't he, like, wanting to be a GM here?
Yeah.
You know, and look what he's doing in Arizona. I mean, it's
But, you know, the problem is – she wanted to move on from the Robinson era. And I thought Ryan Cowden and Monty Austinfort were two very good candidates that were in-house. And I know she talked to them, but it became pretty clear that she wasn't interested because Austinfort ended up getting the Arizona job, and then she moved on from Ryan Cowden. I don't even know where he is now, but moved on from him. Because she wanted to bring in somebody from the outside.
Do you think she interviewed him? I'm going to tell you a quick Hope Hines story. I'll tell you this real quick.
Sure.
Just real quick. So one time, Hope Hines is interviewing Daryl Waltrip, okay? And the photographer, camera guy that's shooting the interview, they do the interview, Hope's asking questions, and he hears this static, this... He's like, oh, man, what... He goes, hey, let's stop the interview, you know, and, you know, let's check Daryl's mic. Okay, it's good. Check Hope Hines' mic. It's good. Then, all right, they go back again, start interviewing, same thing. The guy's like, what in the world's going on? This goes back to an interview. Do you care or not? So he said, checks the mics again. The mics are fine. So Hope starts interviewing Daryl Waltrip again. Same sound. So the guy walks around, and he looks at Hope. Hope is unwrapping a candy, and he can't get it unwrapped. So he's not paying attention to the interview. He's just interviewing him, and there's this candy wrapper sound that's coming over. And I said, what did you tell Hope? He's like, you can't do that. You got to pay attention. Is this the Amy thing, that Amy interviews these people and like for just friendship and doesn't pay attention and just says, hey, you know, I'm just going to get through this interview? Well, I interviewed him.
Yeah.
I interviewed him.
I think everybody that has worked, you know, in their career long enough has probably been in a situation where you know, are quote unquote up for a job or apply for a job or whatever. And you go in and you do the interview with whoever's hiring you, and you can tell within the first couple of minutes, you know, if you're truly in consideration or not. Because a lot of times they kind of have their mind, they know the answer to the question before they ask the question.
Right.
You know, that happens. I mean, look, I have been in those situations before. Like, I just have, where it's like, all right, I already know where this is going to go, you know? And so. Yeah. That I kind of feel like is where she was at. She knew she was ready to have a regime change. Maybe not so much Vrabel at the time, but, you know, she was ready to bring in some outside ideas. And my guess is, you know, remember we had John McClain on a few weeks ago, and John McClain said the problem with Bud was Bud listened to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were people in her ear that were saying, listen, Robinson and Vrabel, just bear with me on this. They don't embrace analytics. This guy Carthon, he's with John Lynch and he's with Kyle Shanahan. You know, look at Brock Purdy. He was the last pick in the draft, but the analytics said that he could start in the National Football League and all that. So she's hearing that and thinking, and this happens. I deal with it. It happens a lot in, you know, today's society, especially when you have older people that, you know, have been doing something, the same thing for a long time, and all of a sudden they hear these buzzwords like, you know, oh, you gotta use Instagram more, or oh, you gotta be on Twitter or podcasts, you gotta have podcast. Like, they hear those things, and it's like, oh, we gotta do that, not truly understanding what it means. And so somebody says to her, you know, you need to embrace analytics, you know, you need to bring people in that embrace analytics. In her head, it might be like, and look, I would do the same thing. I have no idea what the hell analytics are, but I guess we need them. It's like that.
Yeah, you're smarter than
that. Like, it's like hiring somebody because they have a lot of Facebook friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't really know what it means, but you think it's a good idea.
All right.
I kind of feel like that's. And look, I'm not saying at the time, you know, I didn't agree with firing John Robinson in the middle of the season. That ruined that season, and it set them back. There's no way around that at this point. But I could have made the argument at the end of the season after those drafts and after some of those free agent signings to say, John, what's going on? You know, things have not gone well. I didn't agree with firing Mike Vrabel at the end of last season. I thought he should have had another year to try and fix it, but I could have made the argument of, all right, things aren't working. What's going on here?
Right.
I can, you know, the argument right now will be at the end of this season that everybody should be evaluated. I mean, all of you are texting and saying, fire Cole Anderson. No question that is going to be on the discussion point list when Brian Callahan does his end-of-season recap. That, okay, you brought in your buddy to coach special teams. Special teams absolutely sucked. You're probably going to have to make a change there. We're seeing coaches all over college football and the NFL make changes to their staff right now, which – you know, we've talked about what does that really do mid-season. But you know why they're doing it? It's called CYA.
What's that?
Cover your ass. That's what they're doing. They're trying to save theirs. And Callahan's probably going to be at that point.
I get it. Real quick, 8891 is ripping me on analytics. Every aspect of sports is based on analytics. The score is literally in mathematical analysts of the game. Dismissing analytics outright is foolish. Your takes are dumb. Levis had a 78% completion rate on Sunday. He was also sacked 7 times. What numbers tell the rest of that story? Do I need analytics to know he can't complete a pass on time? Do I need analytics to know that Peter Skoronski can't pass block? No, it's an easy out, easy excuse, and lazy, lazy analysis of football. That's what it is. So 8891, I appreciate you listening, but it's not foolish, and you know I'm right.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Ryan Cowden is with the Giants. He's an executive advisor to the GM, which means he's waiting around for his next job. That's what that means. We'll have more of this discussion coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Usually he joins us on Mondays, but moving things around, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, now joins us. Brett, I texted you. We're a little fired up this morning, so, you know, just get ready.
That's okay. Yeah, I guess I'm ready to go. So what do y'all got this morning?
Okay, so this kind of started yesterday. Joe had a very passionate rant because there's so much talk about analytics in sports. Now, it's not just the NFL. It's everywhere. Right. And, you know, he's kind of the and I personally kind of am too, of the old school of the eye test of, you know, either a guy's good or he's not. Like, you can see it, you know, pretty quick. But you know, you know, especially, you know, I would say in the last 5-6 years that analytics has become a more important part of the game. So where are you on things and specifically how the Titans have used them in the last few years?
Yeah, it's obviously become a huge part of the game. I guess my only initial really feeling about analytics is like analytics doesn't involve emotion. Like, for example, you know, you're at Buffalo, you know, that 4th-and-2 call. Analytics doesn't tell you what play to call. It's not like, wasn't there like a cheat code in Madden where it would say like preferred play or the play to call? You could like click, you know, circle X, whatever, you know, to call that play that the game told you to call. Analytics doesn't do that. It just says 4th-and-2, you have this percentage to go, would go for it, blah, blah, blah. It gives you the analytics is why to go for it. But it doesn't give you the play to call. And there's no emotion as far as, like, you know, at Buffalo, you have the wind at your back. Remember, we were talking about it, and Sam Martin was kind of struggling coming into it, and you can pin him deep, and then all of a sudden you start controlling field position. Instead, it just says go for it on 4th-and-2. And so, I mean, you even look at, you know, the NFC Championship game last year, you know, with the Lions and that whole, well, analytics says to go for it and do this and that. But, like, you're on the road in San Francisco in an NFC Championship game. Like, you just – right? There's no emotion involved in, you know, the analytics on the chart. And so I think that's where I struggle the most. I get if you want to use it to evaluate players, and I don't really understand all that. And I like analytics. I was really big on to like charting myself statistically and, you know, where my directions were and, you know, where I was placing punts and all that kind of stuff, like to break down what I need to do to get better, you know, in the off season, what I need to work on. But so there's obviously a time and a place for it, which is great if it works.
I feel like for you, it would probably be a little more prevalent because of, like you just said, of where you're placing the ball and, like, you know, the averages of, okay, if you put it out inside the, you know, the 5 or whatever, they're, you know, they're going 3 and out this amount of times. I mean, I feel like it would kind of help, especially on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for me, it was, you know, balls on the right hash and I'm going right. Where am I placing the ball? Balls on the left hash. Now I'm going across the field going right. Where am I placing the ball? And so I was able to look at where my punts were going and then evaluate it in the year. Like, man, I really wasn't as consistent placing the ball where I wanted to be on a right punt from the left hash. How can I go work on that, right? You know, and I know, you know, Vrabel was really big on maybe not the analytics part, but he was just like, if I had a punt that went down to the 18-yard line, he would be upset because he was like, look, if you had that ball to seven, that difference of 11 yards, 10 yards, you know, when a team starts from backed up to 10-yard going out, you know, there's only like a 6.2% chance that they get any points. Well, if they start at the 18 or, you know, like the 20, right, now it bumps up to, hey, now there's like a 27% chance that they can get points. Like, he was more into like that kind of stuff. And so you realize like, man, if I could get this punt down here at a certain spot, I know that of this amount of percentage that they, you know, won't get points, right? But yeah, for me, analytics, they don't show the emotion or like on the road weather or, you know, how has the play calling been going. It just gives you like, hey, fourth and two, analytics, they go for it. Well, there's so many more factors that analytics doesn't take into of just pure raw emotion of the game that's kind of where I struggle with it.
Here's one for you too, Brett. If you outscore your opponent 100% of the time, you're going to win. So that
yeah, well, we had keys to the game, and I never got called on, which was great because I knew I was never going to get called on. But I'm telling you, Vrabel used to do that all the time, and I was, you know, especially towards the end of my career, if you were going to call on me and say, hey, Brett, what's the key to the game? I'd just say, hey, let's just score more points than the other team. There you go.
It works every
time. I promise you we'll win.
It works every time. Hey, I want to talk about this real quick, and he keeps doing it. I was watching Stonehouse on Sunday, just kicking so far past the coverage, especially one time when a guy had a 14-yard start. That he kicked the ball so far. I know this is, you know, not the reason they lost, but how can you say you got to punt higher or you got to get faster guys down the field? What's the solution here?
I mean, you know, it's kind of the Shane Leffler approach. You know, the Raiders, Shane, which is, he was the six, we call him the 60-40. Like, you bomb at 60, you net 40, and that's great. But the Raiders would then also go draft or bring in, you know, the two fastest guys in the draft that you're like, man, why did they draft this guy? Well, he runs a 4.2, so he can go cover Shane Leffler's punts, right? and it usually didn't, you know, work out because the guy couldn't play receiver or DB. He was just extremely fast and could go cover punts. But, yeah, I mean, that's just how Stoney punts. And, you know, he's able to put the field and, you know, you're kind of, you know, maybe rolling the dice a little bit. But, you know, like I said, I mean, this is a young special teams unit. You got guys probably playing gunner that have never played before. You probably got guys that are playing special teams that really didn't do it in college, and they're asked to, you know, go play special teams at an NFL level, which is, it's an art, it's a skill, it's a talent that, you know, it's something that starting out in the league, your first, second year, you're just trying to figure it out. And then hopefully by year three, four, five, it's like, it's an art of how to play special teams. And so, you know, I mean, they've given up 537 yards of punt return yardage. That's first. The next team is 337 and, you know, 38.2 on kickoff returns, which is, you know, the most given up in the league this year. So special teams is obviously struggling. And I look at like even yesterday, like something little, right? It's and for me, penalties also are huge. You know, they have 69 penalties for 539 yards total, which is top 10 in the NFL. But 21 of them are pre-snap penalties. So 30% of them are coming before the ball is even snapped, whether it's delay of game, false start, illegal formation, right? So that's, you know, yardage that you're losing. So like on Sunday, you know, it's 3rd and 6 from the 19, right? 37-yard field goal, you're up 7-6. Pass was incomplete, right? So fourth down, you're going out to kick a 37-yarder. Face mask on Watson, then a false start on Watson. So now all of a sudden that becomes a 49-yard field goal that Nick Folk, yeah, if you asked him, hey, man, I should have made it, right? But he missed it by, what, 2 feet maybe? Yeah,
right.
From 37 yards, that's in. And so then they come down. L.A. has great field position. They do a flea flicker, 8 plays later, 4th and 1, Herbert scores a TD, now it's 13-6. And so it's little things like that. And even the whole Big Jeff thing, the strips, I get it. Control what you can control. That's clearly, some people are going to say that was a forward pass. Some people are going to say that's a fumble. Hey, maybe you're up 14-13 going in a half to start the ball. I get that. But if you look at what happened, you'd love to go down and score in the 2 minute. They don't, but the defense stops them. So you're now – L.A.'s punting with 18 seconds left, right? And you have two timeouts. J.K. Scott hits a high ball. Jackson, instead of coming up and fair catches it, right? If you fair catch that on the 40, you know, at about 12 seconds left, 11, 12 seconds, you really only have to go 20, 20-ish yards, 25 yards to give Nick a really good chance, but you still have two timeouts. You can run two plays. Mm-hmm. Instead, he peters it, lets it hit the ground, and what is LA supposed to do? We called it bleed it. You bleed it. Don't touch the ball. Let it roll. Let it do. And JK was using Lark. Losing yards. As a punter, you're thinking, oh my gosh, here goes my gross just moving backwards, it's coming towards me.
Right.
But they do what they were supposed to do. You bleed the clock, because why? Now all of a sudden the Titans get the ball with 4 seconds left. You can't do anything. So what would have happened? It's a little thing that could make a big difference, because you know, this is like what the Chiefs do, right? You always talk about the Chiefs. Oh, I hate the Chiefs. Look, they all, you know. Well, then you give them, Chiefs probably would have fair caught that. Mahomes would have thrown a play to Kelce, this and that. Harrison Buckner goes out, they kick a field goal, momentum switch, completely going into halftime. It's just little things like that, and a lot of it, you know, yeah, the offense, there's a lot with the offense, but special teams too. Little things on special teams that you could do to help your team win.
That might be the best analysis I've ever heard on this radio station. I mean, I'm being serious. Well, you're exactly right.
Well, Vrabel, his attention to detail was, like, this stuff right here, I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
And over the years with Vrabel, it was just like he would show example after example, and you're thinking, dang, well, I never thought of it like that. But something like this, and everybody asks, well, why did the Chiefs win? Why are they this? Why are they that? They shouldn't have won that game. Why? Little things like this. And it leads to – little things like this leads to victories in the end.
Oh, man. Real quick question for you, and Chase got some more. I was watching the Patriots game, and Stonehouse punted, and he almost got blocked into by his own guy. And I looked down, and it was Morgan Cox. I thought you couldn't line up over the long snapper. The Patriots guy just drove him straight back.
Yeah, you have to be 2 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Oh, that's even – so they get a two-yard start?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't think you can touch him on field goal anymore. I'm sure there's a lot of snappers way back in the day that wish, like, they didn't have to worry about Warren Sapp or somebody like that coming straight over them during a field goal snap. But, yeah, you can't be two yards. You have to be 2 yards off the line of scrimmage. And so pretty much that allows the snapper, that allows Morgan, because clearly he's doing everything upside down. Like, that's not easy.
Right.
And so you're having to snap it, put it on the spot. And Morgan is extremely – like, I remember when Morgan came here and he said, hey, man, where do you want it on your body? And I was telling him, hey, if we're going right, I want it on this right hip, left, I want it on the left hip. And he was just like, all right, I'm going to aim for this little spot on your belt. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? he was just putting them right there. And I'm like, dang, his attention to detail is spot on. But for him, you know, he has to snap and then look up. And so pretty much what was happening a lot of times is teams were lining up over the snapper. He would snap and they would just smoke him without him even getting a chance to even pick his head up. And so a lot of guys were falling back, kicking back, hitting their head on the turf. And so it's one of those, you know, NFL safety rules.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. Will Levis returns to the lineup against the Chargers. And look, I didn't think he played bad by any means, but you know, as they continue to evaluate him to try and decide, you know, his future, you and I have talked about this. To me, it's more than just the quarterback. Like, it's got to be the whole organization has to be looked at. Amy's got to be looking at that. And we sit here every day debating, okay, do you kind of hope that the rest of the season just goes in the toilet and they end up with a number one overall pick? And, you know, then what do you do with that? Do you try and trade out of that and build around Will, or do you take a quarterback? I mean, how crazy is that, like, hearing that stuff from the outside, from the locker room, and kind of sitting there going, I'm just out there trying to make plays while everybody else is talking about our future? I mean, how much of that is going on right now? Or are the guys in the room just trying to put that noise out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it just depends on how the guys are, you know, involved with things outside of the locker room. You know, whether it's through social media, what do they read? What do they look up? Do they have family members sending them an article saying, hey, look what this person said about you and this and that, right? You block it out. Can you ignore the noise is probably the big phrases. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, Will's – I mean, he had a better QBR than Justin Herbert on Sunday. he won that category. You know, he had 7 sacks. And, you know, looking at the sacks, I mean, you know, 2 of them, he tried to make a play, probably could have thrown it away. You know, Dylan Raiden's got beat on one that was definitely not his fault. And then there's a couple that, you know, he was – you know, of course, Bud Dupree – You know, he's stepping up in the pocket. Stepping up in the pocket, and it looks like, you know, one of them he's about to throw and he gets sacked from behind, and then another one did the same thing and kind of got sacked from behind. And so, you know, those are they on him? I don't know. That's something that you'd have to ask Coach Callahan and say, hey, look, we see him stepping up in the pocket. What's the route concept? You know, is Calvin open? Is Chig open? Like, who's the primary? Who's the secondary? Who's the third on these routes? You know, but that's something that even watching the game, even myself watching, like, is that on Will or is that on, you know, the receiver maybe not getting open? Is that on protection, right? But I know all of them definitely, you know, weren't on him. So, you know, I thought he played well on Sunday for coming back and, you know, obviously getting his shoulder healthy and just kind of taking some time to, you know, kind of take a break, I guess you could say, probably more mentally than anything else. But, yeah, it's the same. It's, you know, when Mason was playing, the same kind of things were happening. And so it's obviously not just a Will Levis problem or a quarterback problem. My thing is, like, how hard is it to, first of all, if you have the number one overall pick, first of all, you have to have the team in place to make sure you have the right guy. Then you have to make sure that whoever the coach is, like, how many true quarterback guru developers are there out there on NFL teams?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, does your team have one of them? I don't know. And so, you know, all of a sudden then you got, you know, your offensive coordinator, your head coach. Can he apply, for example, Will's skill set to the offense? Or are you hey, everybody's going to be stuck in this box and I'm just going to run all these plays and I hope you can do it, right? I'm not willing to adapt and change to what my quarterback's skill set is. Like, there's so many factors. I mean, you look at, like, Jacksonville or Cleveland. It's like they had the number one pick. And, you know, they picked Blaine Gabbert, who's, you know, good dude, good quarterback, had a great arm. But what, like, what was around him? Like, there was no development. There was, like, the coaching staff wasn't right. Offensive coordinator wasn't right. And then, you know, you just wasted your number one pick. So, like, all these things have to line up for it to work out to where your quarterback's, like, the dude, right? So, and I just thought, you know, that's just, and I really don't think that's out there a lot. I really don't think there's, like, true quarterback developer guru guys that are out. I don't think there's a lot of them. And so it's tough, and it's tough to be, like, if you're in that position, like, do you pick, you know, you look at, like, Chicago picking Caleb Williams, and then you got Washington playing, you know, Jaden Daniels. Like, what's the difference? You know, like, I'd love to see, like, what the breakdown is. Like, if you put Caleb with some offensive, like, if Caleb had to go to Kansas City with Andy Reid, what would happen, right? You just think of all these, like, scenarios, and but it just has to match up perfectly for it to succeed.
I agree. Brett, real quick, I've gotten two texts. There's some of the text line. They would like for you to go over to St. Thomas Sports Park and apply for the special teams coach later this morning. Can you do that for us?
Well, it's hard this weekend. I was on a golf trip. And, you know, going on a golf trip with some really good friends or going out to L.A. to coach in a game. oh, man, that'd be tough. that'd be tough.
Hey, you know what?
Chase can pick you up. Chase,
yeah,
got,
yeah,
I get it as a compliment. Maybe I can be an analytic special teams guru.
There you go.
No.
Brett, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of the things he had to say and much more, plus your texts and calls. A lot of you continue to want to weigh in on the Titans. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Appreciate Brett Kern for joining us in the last segment. You said you wanted to ask a kind of a fun Titans question, or
yeah, we do that.
We're gonna do it now, and then okay, set it up for the next segment.
All right, Dr. Crane, I need the music. All right, we had fun last week with this. Oh yeah. All right, here it is. We're a little match game today. All of y'all's, even the guy ripping me on analytics, you're more welcome to weigh in on this. We love you. So here it is. the Tennessee Titans are so bad that when Brian Callahan went out to dinner, a fan walked over and gave him blank. The Tennessee Titans are so bad that when Brian Callahan went out to dinner, a fan walked over and gave him blank. 615-737-1025.
To incentivize this, you can text or call. We'll take either one. But the best one will win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Papa Roach with special guest Rise Against in Under Oath at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. These tickets don't go on sale until Thursday at 10, but you can win them. Be creative.
Nice.
One more time.
The Tennessee Titans are so bad that Brian Callahan went out to dinner and a fan walked over and gave him blank. There we go.
615-737-1025. We will take those answers. Coming up next, it is Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game, playing a little match game today. Papa Roach tickets on the line. We're going to do the text line and the phone line. We'll do both. And the best answer to this question will win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Papa Roach with special guests Rise Against and Under Oath at the First Bank Amphitheater, great venue, on Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. Tickets will go on sale Thursday at 10 o'clock. Joe, one more time, the question.
These responses, you guys, I'm telling you, man, we have the best listeners in the world. You guys are great. All right, here's the question again. The Tennessee Titans are so bad that Brian Callahan went out to dinner and a fan walked over and gave him blank.
All right.
615-737-1025.
All right, I'm gonna just read through some of these and then we'll get to some calls. 2758, a get well soon card. Nate says, gave him the bill for the PSL for the new Nissan Stadium. Ken, an emotional support dog. Good. Michael and Madison says, a job application to play right tackle. Aaron from White House, a job application for a new job.
Okay.
Joey from Bellevue, a tissue to wipe away the tears. Matt, you writing some of these down?
Yeah.
Matt from Columbia, a dead catfish. 8970, a book called How to Coach for Dummies. Byron, raspberry jam. Nobody gives me the raspberry.
That's great.
Steve from the Borough gave Brian Callahan the finger. was, you see him sit there with his family, just walk up like, bam.
That would be awful.
8891. The Titans are so bad the fan gave the coach a ticket to see Papa Roach. Okay, you don't like Papa Roach. Fine. Let's see. Job application for a server position. Adam in Portland, a GoFundMe link to cover moving expenses out of Nashville. Graham, Rob Schneider sits with him and yells, oh no, we suck again, after everything he does. Kenny in Spring Hill says, his walking papers. 9573, he gave him a nice seafood dinner and never called him again. another one for football for dummies. 8185, gave him a blank check to buy the Raiders and move them here. Okay. Why do you want the Raiders?
I don't know.
A lot of football for dummies. JT says I gave him a gummy. Hair Metal Henry says they gave him a 2 men in a truck coupon. Mike in Las Casas gave him a quarterback.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Byron was referencing Spaceballs. Very good with the raspberry. Andy says an hour session with Jarrett. I think you mean Jared. I don't know why I want that. A gift certificate to play. This is JD. A gift certificate to play it against sports to try and find a ball that will bounce their way. But that's a good one. Oh, no. Travis, a bar of soap and a sock for Cole Anderson.
Oh, my goodness.
Ben in Cumberland City, I'm a Colts fan, and I picked up his check.
Thank you.
Dylan says, a playbook. He said, figured you might need this. Looks like y'all lost yours somewhere around week three. Kenneth says, a jar of mayo.
Oh, that's a good one.
Andrew from Dover, Jeff Fisher's guide to an 8-8 season.
Andrew.
6638, a new GM. 2360, handed him the nuclear football, the briefcase the president used for the go codes.
That's a deep one.
That's a good one. All right, let's go to the phones now. A lot of you weighing in on this. Let's start off with Rush. Rush, what's up?
Well, he's so bad, I walked over and gave him a bless your heart hug.
We're in the South. That's a good one. Thanks, Rush. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny, what's up? Kenny.
God, right. Was that the devil? What was that? Don't call anymore.
Let's go to Wes. Wes, what's up?
Morning, fellas. Y'all know where I'm going to go with this, but I'm walking on my way out. I'm going to give him the Bible with a sticky note inside of it. And that sticky note will contain the phone number to Connor Stallion. That's all I got.
Thanks, Wes. 615-737-1025. Craig, what's up?
Hey, I'd walk in and I'd give him a case of Right Guard deodorant.
Do they make Right Tackle deodorant? They
Ken,
need that.
That's a good one.
Thanks, Craig.
Close as we could get, buddy. All right, bye.
Oh, is that Craig? My bad.
Yeah, that was Craig.
Job, Craig.
That
Sorry.
Was good. All right, Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Somebody stole mine. I was going to say the bird, but I'm actually changing mine. I thought of another one. I would give him last rites.
Oh, damn.
Eric, man.
Oh, Eric.
That's not like you, buddy.
Y'all take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eric.
That's not Ooh. Like Eric.
That is not.
I'm telling you, you guys, our listening audience is fantastic with creativity. You guys are great.
Some of these I'm scared to read. But they're good. Hair Metal Henry gave him a cassette tape with Jim Carrey saying, do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
He's already had two. No more Hair Metal Henry.
He's funny, though. From Thomas in Nashville, it's so bad I would give him a ransom note for a pro football team in Nashville.
Ransom note.
Ned, a fire extinguisher to put out the dumpster fire. These are good. All right, keep these coming. 615-737-1025. We will get a winner to this. This has become our question of the day, playing some match game, that if you saw Brian Callahan out at dinner, you're so mad as a Titans fan, what would you give him?
Yep.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.